never seen you slack once. It's not a like, oh, we'll call it an off night, or oh, we'll only give 75%. No, you leave everything on you on the stage. All right, we're done. All right. That is it. That's all you're going to get, which is great, and it speaks to your credit, because there are some people who will go into a room where it's like 4 or 5 people, and you're up, and just kind of like, eh, we'll pull back. Yeah, we can pull back, right? And not just you, the band itself. Yeah. You guys play like you're playing the Palace every night.
Yeah.
We try.
In my mind, I am playing the Palace every
night. Oh, really?
Even if it's two, those four people, if those four people came to see us, even two,
yeah,
if they came to see us, those four people may not have seen us before. Those four people may buy CDs. They, you know, they may follow us for the next couple months or years. So you never know. You can't dismiss one single person. And when you dismiss somebody that wanted to get an experience and they missed out because you didn't give it to them, that's a horrible feeling.
But that goes beyond not just on stage. You got have great fan interaction after the show. You're usually there with your CDs. You shake hands. You say hi. You talk to people.
It's important.
That is very important.
To connect with people and you know, to bring the barriers down.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people in, you know, that's, I think, at a lot of blues festivals and certain you know, certain musicians will walk off the stage and talk to their fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing, especially for the fans, because, you know, the fans give you everything. They give you everything.
Yeah.
They're clapping at the end of the song. They're following you around. Or they're interviewing you. This is really important to us, you know. It's our whole livelihood depends on it.
You know, I think we have a very strong work ethic coming from this Detroit area. You know, we get a job done, and we want to do it right, and we're going to give 200%. That's just what we do.
Yeah. But it's kind of automatic.
It's automatic, I think it's hard for people to go out. It's hard for people to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
But when people come to see us for the first time, whether they're 21 or they're 80. Because we have fans. I have fans that are 80 that call me on the phone and ask me where I'm playing. Because I remind them of you know, something in the past.
They're not that great on Twitter. 80-year-olds aren't really that great on Twitter.
Unfortunately not. They're not my street team always. Right. Maybe sometimes.
But you got to remember, like I was saying before, like the 80-year-olds, you know, when they were 25.
They were in an era
could actually go down to... what was the name of the club? What was his name in Detroit?
Phelps Lounge.
The Phelps Lounge.
Somebody
who's 80 in Detroit, you know,
remembers that. If,
when they were 25 or 30 years old, they could go to Phelps Lounge and see Bobby Bland.
Yep.
Right.
That's
and
a little before my time, but I know.
Right. It's before all of us signed.
Yes, your grandfather would know about Phelps Lounge. But
yeah.
That was a time when music was authentic. You had these, you know, people coming up, I mean, singing for their supper, Tina Turner and all these people just... Mm-hmm. Throwing their soul out on the stage and just delivering.
Yeah.
But here's another thing, and you can comment if you want. I've had a few other people who've come here from the Detroit, you know, music scene, quite a few actually, and they said not only everything you just said, they pretty much mirrored what you said about the work ethic and getting fans and stuff like that. However, they have, it's a, like, added bonus in that too, because you may love your contemporaries, you may love your fellow musicians, but at the same time, they are very talented musicians. So it's a weird thing when you get on the stage, you kind of, they're your friends off stage, but you kind of got to blow them out a little bit so you can stand out. Like when you're against, I mean, sorry if you're listening to this and you're taking offense, I don't mean any harm or anything, but when you are a talented force like yourselves, you're playing in a town with a bunch of talented people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You really can't half-ass it. It really forces you to tighten your game up. Like, you could take that anywhere else, and quite honestly, that same effort has kind of pushed you guys ahead of most who will take a dive, no pun intended. I mean, just kind of.
We take for granted all the talent that's in this town. You go to other cities, I mean, you know, we take it for granted. Even I think the people that go to see it, I don't think they realize that you can't just walk into any city and see, you know, Phil Hale on the keyboard. Like Bernie Worrell, you know, you can't see that. There's so many artists in the city that a lot of them tour, some of them don't, some of them used to tour, but there is just an immense amount of talent here that we are all very fortunate to have.
I know myself, as a guy who, you know, job kind of rests on me listening to it, where I had to catch myself a few times where if I go elsewhere, if I travel somewhere, I'm kind of sort of a snob. To some degree, I don't mean to be.
Just you think they can't play as good.
Yeah, just kind of like, yeah, you're not as good. It's just like, wait, this is my vacation. I thought you were going to, And, like, you guys travel, and your music and your efforts have taken you to L.A., Vegas, all places in between. Have you guys noticed a difference in those scenes, or is it more of the same?
No, it's way different.
There's many talented musicians. I think their talents are everyone. I think Detroit, we're branded for a certain type of music, and I think we have a certain sound, just like any you know, city, DC, LA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no shortage of highly professional, top of the line cats in LA or Nashville. It's just a different sound, and they may have different features that, you know, rival ours. Mm-hmm. It's just different.
Now, sometimes I get this when I travel, so I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine you guys would get this too. When you travel, is there kind of like a built-in stigma from being from Hitsville, being from the Motor City? The second they say, oh, you're from Detroit, is there kind of like a, oh, okay, let me see what they can do.
Yeah, and I think when you smash, then they're like, oh, Miss Detroit. then, you know, you got to prove them because they're expecting you to be a badass.
George?
And when you prove them that you know, you can play.
That's true.
Then you're like in the game.
In Los Angeles, you know, the players, the musicians will say, oh, you're from Detroit. We don't have to worry.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
Instant respect.
Yeah.
Instant respect. Because people, you know, and I would think it's the same in New York. I don't have that kind of experience, but so many Detroiters have, for 60 years, mm-hmm. have grown up here and gone to places like New York and LA
mm-hmm.
to do different things. And there's a long established history of people. You know, badasses being from
here,
and I think that, you know, that goes back to the work ethic, and it goes back to the tree of music that comes from this city, you know, and how people you know, play their music, you know, whereas every city's got different styles,
mm-hmm.
you know, or right. many styles,
right?
You know. Detroit is, you know, rich in R&B and soul and gospel and jazz and blues, and it's like there are other cities that are like that too, but I think it's highly overlooked in this city compared to you know, New Orleans, of course.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or you know, people talk about Austin, Texas being a music city, which it is, but it's not like Detroit.
I would classify, I've been to Austin, it's remind me more.